Well, whether they take the Los Angeles Times or some other newspaper, people turn to the opinions section for a particular take on the world's happenings. Slate's Washington bureau chief, David Plotz, is among those people, and lately he hasn't been impressed.
If a liberal who's been mugged is a conservative, what's a conservative who's been mugged? Let's ask David Brooks. For the past few months, the lovable House conservative of the New York Times and satirical sociologist has been taking a beating. Since Brooks's new book, On Paradise Drive, hit bookstores this month, Brooks's liberal friends have been thumping it, and him. Some switch has flipped. Many who used to chuckle at the liberal's favorite conservative now rage against him. Some of the reasons for the sneering are obvious. As a conservative columnist at the Times, Brooks is the steer at the steakhouse. Liberals who admired him when he was the jolly voice of reason at the Weekly Standard resent him now that he occupies the throne of American journalism. And Brooks's Times column is a drag. Occasionally he reminds us of his talent and his enormous decency. But after 10 months, it's become clear that he doesn't have enough ideas or anger to sustain a twice-a-week column. Brooks, formerly so sparkly, has been dribbling out well-meaning and dreary sentiments about bipartisanship and the sensible majority. Brooks is also frustrating because he tries to duck the conflicts that divide America and the world. In 1997, he wrote an influential manifesto for the Weekly Standard, A Return to National Greatness. In it, he claimed the U.S. was losing the sense of grand national mission that built the Panama Canal, conquered the West, won the Cold War, and put a man on the moon. National greatness became a powerful idea in the Republican Party's Teddy Roosevelt wing. And when September 11th occurred, national greatness found its cause, rooting out terror and bringing democracy to the Middle East. Brooks and his Weekly Standard colleagues called for war in Iraq, and Brooks preached about the nobility of democratizing the Arab world. As the occupation has soured, Brooks has wilted, optimistic and conflict-averse. Brooks didn't see how our good intentions could go wrong, because our superior ideas were bound to win the day. Other conservatives, like Charles Krauthammer, Brooks's old boss William Kristol, and President Bush, have the courage of their convictions and believe that Americans are killing and dying for a great cause. But squeamish Brooks still sees it as a kind of academic dispute, where ideas can clash without bloodying noses. In Brooks's ideal world, Americans should all reasonably discuss the war, reach a consensus that it's righteous, persuade Iraqis of the same, and win. In peace, Brooks's genial mockery and optimism is delightful. In wartime, it's a cheat.
Opinion from David Plotz, Slate's Washington bureau chief.